May God's love and his mercy in Christ Jesus be yours today in our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about one of the most amazing, astonishing, astounding, and shocking things I think Jesus ever said to us. It's a word he spoke to us in Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5, but I'd like to start with the one in Matthew chapter 5. And here, Jesus is correcting a lot of the misinterpretations that the Jews had of God's word and will. And I think the best one is one of the last he said. He says this in verse 43, Matthew 5. "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Love your enemies. That's an amazing thing. Seems like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? Because your enemy is someone who doesn't like you. It's someone who harms you, who seeks your destruction. It's someone who usually has a terrible, nasty, rotten attitude, a bad character. And God, you want me to love that person? To love my enemy? Well, since it's a very important thing, obviously, central to the Christian faith, and since it's sometimes hard for us to understand or to put into practice, thought we could talk about that today, what it means to love your enemies so that we can better understand it and do it. So today, what does it mean for you to love your enemy? What does God want from you in this, and how can you do it? Let's see what the scriptures would teach us. First off, first question, where is this written? Well, Peter, John, and Paul all talk of this in their letters, but the words of Jesus are recorded for us in two places, especially in the New Testament. That's in Matthew 5, which we just read, and Luke chapter 6. Now, since our sermon series this month's on Luke chapter 6, let's look especially at that one. Verse 27, again he says, "But I say to you that here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them." So there we have it. What can we learn from those verses? Number one, it's plain and clear God wants you to love your enemies. Amen? Amen? Any disagreements there? That's absolutely what he says. You are to love your enemy, says God. But now we need to ask another question. Who's my enemy? I mean, God, who especially am I supposed to be loving here? Because I'm not feeling the love. All right? An enemy is ultimately anybody who is against you. We can have that on a national level, maybe an enemy from another country. We can have it on a local level, like the high school team that hates the rival football team from the next town over. Everybody loves to hate them. You can have it on a religious level, where someone persecutes you for your faith, tries to attack your faith. Someone like, you know, Richard Dawkins that we've seen recently in the adult Bible study, how he seems to love to attack creation and creationism and Christianity. Or you could take a Muslim terrorist who tries to kill you. You're going to love that person? But I think for most of us, the enemies that we have are more on a personal level. You know, it's just the person who ticks you off, who annoys you, who cuts you off on the road, a mean boss, a grouchy acquaintance, somebody who insults you, a cantankerous coworker. Do you have any enemies today? Sometimes they're even someone of your own family, God forbid, but it happens. Someone who constantly puts you down with his or her own words and tries to harm you. Do you have any enemies today? Well, might you have one tomorrow? Well, let's see. What can we say? What are we really to love our enemy? You might say, that's a hard thing though, Lord. How do I do that? Next question I want to ask then is, why is this so hard for us to love our enemies? Why is it a difficult thing to love him? Well, it's hard for us because the world just doesn't work this way, right? I mean, the world works this way. If you do good to me, I'll do good to you. But if you do harm to me, I'll harm you back. If you be my friend, I'll be your friend. But if you be my enemy, watch out, here I come. Right? Just like we saw with the candy canes there in the children's message. It's easy to do good to somebody who does good to us. But once they start getting selfish and then abusing us, it becomes harder and harder to love that person, right? So it's natural to us, according to an earthly love, to do good to those who do good to us and to do evil back to people who do evil to us. Let me give you an example, see if I can help drive that home a little. Talking about driving, let's say you're on the road. Someone comes in and cuts you off. How do you feel? And then to add insult to injury, not only does he cut you off and do something wrong, make you almost get in an accident, he reaches out his hand from the window and flips you the bird. Is your first reaction, oh, I want to send this man a Hallmark card? I want to invite him over to dinner and get to know him better? Or is it, I want to hit the gas right up on his tail and cut him off? Because he did evil to me, I want to even the score. See, it's natural for us. It's easy to respond that way. It's hard to love your enemy. But I'll tell you something. Returning evil for evil, well, you need to understand, also makes matters worse and worse, doesn't it? Beth was listening to the police scanner on the iPhone that she has a couple of months ago, and she heard about an altercation going on in Cape Canaveral. There was a white man and a black man. They were both neighbors. Started out with a disagreement. Then it turned to insults. Then they began having a shouting match. Then the white man pushes the black man. The black man shoves the white man. The white man goes into his house and comes out with a baseball bat. The black man goes into his house and comes out with a knife. The white man goes into his house and comes out with a gun. And at that point, the police arrived. Praise God. Before someone killed another person. But returning evil for evil always seems to build up worse and worse and make things go from bad to worse. And this is the world's way, friends. Return good for good. Return evil for evil. If you're my friend, I'll be yours. But if you cross me, I'll kill you. At least with my words, if not also with my hands. But I tell you, friends, Jesus comes over against all these things. And he says, but I say to you, he said, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you do that? Do you pray? Do you set aside a time to pray for the people who irritate you? Well, Jesus commands us so. So next question we need to ask is, how do I do this? God, how do I love someone who hates me, who seeks my harm, who wants me destroyed, who gets under my skin, who cuts me off on the road, who annoys and irritates me no end? How do I, as a Christian, love someone who's against me, who's full of hate, has a bad character, a wicked and evil heart, speaks poison with his words, has blood on his hands, even attacks me or those I love? How am I to love that person, Lord? Because frankly, I ain't feeling the love right now. How can I love someone I don't even like? Well, I think to understand this, we need to grasp a little bit better what it means to love. What's God talking about here? What's Jesus saying to us? Because we use love pretty loosely in our culture, don't you think? I mean, and it's usually tied up with all kinds of, just oozy-goozy emotions and feelings. We can say things like, I love my family, which means I have an affectionate, deep care for them. I delight in them. I joy in them. We can say, I love that girl that just walked by and I've never talked to. That means lust, physical passion. You can say, I'm in love, which means I went on a date or two and now I can't get my eyes off her. I think she's the best. I'm all googly-eyed. You can even say, I love pizza. Really? You love pizza? That's a little weird, but I think it just means you really like pizza. So we use the word love pretty loosely and usually tied up with emotions. Well, it's the same way in the ancient world. They had different kinds of love and different words for love. There was filial love, which is brotherly love, affection between friends. There was eros, which is lust and passion. Storge love, which is love, affection for family members, where you just so delight in them, care for them. Then there's agape love, where you care for the person regardless of the circumstances. You seek their welfare and what's best for them, sincerely from the heart, wanting what's good for the other person. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Agape love. He says, and that's the word, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So what I'm saying here is it's not so much feeling but doing that God is after. We get all tied up with feelings when we think about love. But I'll tell you something, when the Gestapo arrives and they seize you and seize your family and drag you off to a prison camp, I don't think you want to go on a date with these people. I don't think you're feeling very affectionate, like, ooh, I just can't get my eyes off the Gestapo. They're so lovely. Oh, I love my enemies. They're just wonderful people. I want to put their picture, a mural on my wall. No, you're probably going to feel resentment and anger, but you can still love them. And this is what Jesus is telling us to do. Not so much about feeling, but about doing, regardless of how good or bad their character is, or how much evil they might do to you. Can I try to prove that to you a little bit? Luke chapter 6, we read this, love your enemies. I say to you that here, love your enemies. What's the next bunch of lines Jesus says? Listen to the verbs here. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. In other words, he explains it. Love your enemies is not so much about feeling, but about doing to them. Now, that's not to mean that you do it grudgingly, snidely, with an insincere heart, really wishing their destruction. But really, what it means is that, as Paul says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. That is, no matter how bad they are, evil they are, out of the good heart that God has given you in Christ, you desire good for them, even to the point if they should kill you and slay you. A heart set on doing good. Now, that doesn't mean you're a pushover. That doesn't mean you don't at times stand up to defend yourself or that there's no justice, but it means that God wants you in your actions. Whenever someone does you evil, you never return evil to them, but always good and by the good heart you have in Christ. Let me read to you if I could. Lenski, who is a Lutheran commentator, wrote this. This love indeed sees all the hatefulness and the wickedness of your enemy, feels his stabs and blows, may even have something to do toward warding them off. But in all, the loving heart has one desire and aim, to free its enemy from his hate, to rescue him from his sin, and thus to save his soul. I cannot love a low, mean criminal who robs me and threatens my life, at least in the sense of liking him. I cannot like a false, lying, slanderous fellow who perhaps has vilified me again and again, but I can, by the grace of Jesus Christ, love them all, see what's wrong with them, desire and work to do them only good, and most of all, to free them from their vicious ways. So are you with me? Silence. You have an enemy in mind? You think you can possibly do this to him? You know, we see that kind of love in the Bible, but I want to warn you something. It's not a natural kind of love. Natural earthly love is the kind that says, you do good to me, I'll do good to you. Do me harm, I do harm back to you. God is calling you to a supernatural kind of love, one that's very rare in the world. Let me give you an example of how rare it is. It's even rare in the Bible. Take, for example, Jonah in his days. Remember God said, arise, go to Nineveh, pray for these people, or preach to these people? Jonah didn't want to go. Why? He says, they're my enemies, God. Give them what they deserve. Save us, O Lord, destroy them. It's a rare kind of love. God was calling Jonah to share with him in a supernatural kind of love that loves your enemies, but Jonah wouldn't have it. It's rare in the world. But we see it in the person Stephen in the Bible, following the example of Jesus Christ when he was being stoned. Remember in Acts chapter 7, the first martyr? What does he do? As they were stoning him, he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he fell asleep, died, just like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, even though they pierced him and were killing him. That's the super kind and natural kind of love God wants you to have. Can you have this? Well, it can even happen in modern times. Do you think it could? In May 1987, the USS Stark was hit by an Iraqi missile from an Iraqi pilot. 39 American sailors were killed in that Persian Gulf attack. And the newspapers carried a picture of a young boy named was John Kaiser, 5-year-old, who had his hand over his heart as he watched his father's coffin being sent back by plane to America. And it says, the mother, the wife, said, I don't have to mourn or wear black because I know my husband is in heaven, Christian. And I'm happy because I know he's better off. But later on, the mother and the young boy John sent a letter and an Arabic New Testament to the pilot of the Iraqi plane, addressed to the man who attacked the Stark, Dad's ship, in the hope that it will show that even the son and the wife do not hold any grudge and are at the same time praying for the one who took the life of our father. Can you do this? Would you say that that's a supernatural kind of love? You know, the world looks at the church and says, they're unloving, I won't listen to them. But if they meet somebody, if they meet this congregation who goes out today and loves with a supernatural kind of love, they're going to say, I want to listen to these people. They are not of this world. They are not of the people of this world. They are not of the love of this world. That's supernatural. They must be from heaven. Tell me about this Jesus, your Savior whom you love. All right. Why, though? Why does God want us to do good to our enemies and to love them? Let me give you 3 reasons here. First one, 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Peter, expounding on Jesus' word, says, do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you've been called, that you may obtain a blessing. That you may what? Say it again. Come on. Obtain a blessing. So, here's one reason, and Jesus says the same thing in Luke chapter 6. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend from those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Your what? Come on, a little more gusto and verve. That your reward may be great. God wants to bless you. Now, I have an uncle, my godfather, baptismal uncle, if you will, Uncle John. He lived in Hastings on Hudson, New York, all his life, lived and worked in Harlem Hospital every day. Harlem. And he was a handyman, and he was a helpful guy. Well, one day, one of his co-workers was late to work, and he covered for him, just because he's a helpful, nice guy. Turns out the guy he covered for was in the mafia. Well, sometime later, a man got upset at my Uncle John, threatened him, enraged at him. And it was so bad that he had to have a police escort for his children to school that week. And the guy threatened his life and the life of his family. It was even on the local news. But a few days after this, the guy disappeared into the East River, never to be seen again. The mafia never forgets a favor. You could say, the Godfather saved my Godfather. My point is, if you do good only to those who do good to you, what sets you apart from the mafia? They do good to those who do good to them. Why should God reward you, pour favor upon you, give you a crown? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you, says Jesus? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the mafia does the same. I want to tell you, friends, God's calling you to a heavenly love today, a supernatural love. And when you practice it, the power that's at work in you is truly thrilling. And so that God can give you a blessing because he delights in this kind of love. For he's a righteous God. He delights in righteous deeds. Second reason, you may even end up converting the enemy who hates you, overcoming his evil with your good. And Jesus said, remember, pray for those who abuse you. I want to ask you a question right now. Do you have anybody in your mind that irritates you on a daily basis? Maybe not. Maybe you do. I'm sure you have had people. Have you set aside a time to pray for that person? Don Norton told me the story once of a fireman at the fire department chief or boss that he had, who was mean-spirited, terrible. He was a grouch. Nobody wanted to hang out with this guy. Everybody avoided him. He was just terrible and mean. Well, Don heard about this passage, read it in the Bible, and decided to set aside a time to pray for this person who was his enemy. You know what happened? After 2 months, the guy blew him away. Well, no, not with a gun, but by calling him into his office, opening up his heart to him, sharing his life, and the two became friends from that day on for the rest of their lives. Isn't that amazing? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was brought before the Gestapo and the Nazis in World War II and is eventually executed, said this: this is the supreme command. Through the medium of prayer, we go to our enemy, we stand by his side, and we plead to God for him. What a beautiful thing that is, huh? That's supernatural. That's not of this age or of the people of this age. That's of heaven. And John Chrysostom, who was an early church father in the 300s AD, said, you will drown his evil like a spark that falls into the sea, so does an injury find itself extinguished when it comes into the sea of the love of a Christian. Can you see that? Say that when someone cuts you off on the road this week? When someone speaks a mean word to you? When you think you're being given some kind of injustice? That you take that person's spark and you just douse it in the sea of the supernatural love God's given for you in Jesus Christ, returning them good for their evil? This is what God calls you to do. And thirdly, Jesus says, do this that you may be sons of God. Jesus says in verse 35, but love your enemies and do good, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. That word in the Greek is poneros, evil people. God is kind to them. Jesus in Matthew 5 says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I go out on my boat, take people out on the charters. Sometimes we have a beautiful rainbow. Sometimes I have a believer on that boat and an unbeliever. They both enjoy the rainbow. It's a gift of God to them. He gives us food and shelter and makes grass grow on both an unbeliever's lawn and on my lawn. Well, my lawn's not growing too well, but he's impartial in doing good to good and evil people. And he says, if you're going to be my sons, I want you to delight in the things that I delight in, to do what I do, to love those who even hate you. And so share my love, and so prove yourselves to have been born of me, that I am your Father, because you share in the supernatural love that I have in loving my enemies. For that's Jesus' love for you. We were at God's enemies at one time. It says, for God so loved the world, agape, loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me ask you a question. We're drawing to the end. Pay attention here. Did God love the world and save us because we were so cute and so adorable and irresistible and they were just lovely? Oh, gotta save these people. You know what the Bible says about you? You were dead in your trespasses. You were sinners. When God looked on the world, all he saw was corruption and rebellion. Murderers, adulterers, slanderers, idolaters, people hating and harming one another. And God loved the world, loved his enemies to save us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, says Paul, Romans 5. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Nailed, nailed, die on the cross. Enemies, but to save us. That was what he was doing. Since therefore we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more that now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And that's basically it in a nutshell, friends. When God calls you to love your enemies, he says, do to others as I have first done to you. You are my enemy. You didn't deserve it. I gave it to you because I love you, because I'm a good God, and I delight in saving. Do that to other people. We love because he first loved us. So it's a supernatural love, friends. And when the world sees you practice this kind of love, they're going to say, that just ain't natural. This person can't be from this planet. Where are you from, friend? You must be from heaven. Tell me about this Jesus, your Savior, whom you serve, that I too may know this kind of love. Not the warm fuzzies, but a heart set on doing good to everyone at all times, no matter what, as you've first been loved by God. Yes, love your enemies, and so prove to be sons of your heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.